Good morning. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. Please turn to Isaiah 40 this morning. While you're turning there, I'd like for you to be thinking about why I might have picked this passage. There are probably several ways that it's linked with something current in our church, but feel free to venture a guess. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 27, reading through verse 31. Well, I'm seeing the smiles. It is indeed linked with our Song of the Month. Our Song of the Month, number 751, was apparently inspired by this, by verse 31. I'm in the wrong place here. And while you're at it, you might just want to go out and pull your hymnals out again to that number. I won't read the whole thing, but I'd like to read some of the descriptors here. Another answer that some of you, I'm sure, thought of is the challenging situation that Arthur and Lillian find themselves in. And in other ways, I'm sure the rest of us are facing similar things. The verse this comes from is cited, the verse that I believe inspired this poetry is quoted just above the title line there. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. With wings as eagles, so shall they rise, free in the skies. The ground cannot keep them. No wrong can o'erleap them. They're free. Soaring free. With wings as eagles, O liberty, with wings as eagles, so cheerfully, rough winds cannot halt them. Picture the eagles soaring. He's describing eagles here. No words can insult them. Third stanza, from earth set free, with wings as eagles flying with thee. Their joy is not taken, their peace is not shaken. Now, notice that the subject of each stanza is they. Now, only in poetry could you get away with using a pronoun that doesn't have an antecedent or the word to which it refers. But whatever the they is, the writer is certainly using some glowing, powerful language to refer to them. So what is the they and them referring to in these passages? Because the meaning of this song hinges entirely on who the they and them is. And you know what it is, if you look at the verse that we quoted. They who wait on the Lord. Now, I'm going to read this passage out of the ESV. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Or, why is God not paying attention to me? Why is he not caring for me? Isaiah's response is, God ignoring or not caring for you? Not a chance. Reading again. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As I said, the subject of the hymn and of this passage in verse 31 is the people who wait for the Lord. Now, looking again at the hymn writer's description of these they, the people who wait for the Lord, is it defensible? What do you think? Now, it's true that not all of his descriptions are extracted straight from this text. But I believe the writer took that verse and said, so, what does it mean to mount up with wings as eagles? And he started picturing how eagles soar. And he said, so what did Isaiah have in mind when he said, they will mount up with wings like eagles? They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And my opinion is he proceeds to do a pretty good job of answering that question in the first three stanzas. I see a shift in stanza four. Then comes the morn. I think that's referring to life beyond the grave. He continues the imagery in that stanza, but he's describing our existence when we are free from the very presence of sin. But I submit that the first three stanzas describe existence in life here and now for those who wait on the Lord. So what does it mean to wait on the Lord? The Hebrew word here is kava. It means to wait or look for, to expect or to look for expectantly. Allow me to read several other places where this word is used in the Old Testament. From the Psalms, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. And now a few more from Isaiah. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. In this next one, it's the Lord speaking. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. And in my last example, the word is translated hope. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. So again, how do we wait for the Lord? Well, this is scarcely an answer, but I see one element that is consistent in every usage of this word. This act of waiting for or hoping for or expecting, whatever it is that you're waiting for. And it is this, that the end of the waiting is out of our control. We don't determine, we don't influence, at least directly, when hope will vanish in delight. When what we are waiting for finally comes. But I do see two key concepts here that I think get a little closer to helping us understand what it is to wait for the Lord. The first is patience, and the second one is relinquishing control. you're like me, you look at the descriptions in this song and in Isaiah 40, and you say, well, that doesn't really describe me. I suggest if that's the case, we need to ask ourselves, am I truly waiting on the Lord? Am I exercising patience? Am I relinquishing control? We're together here today, and as we offer our worship, let us wrap into that a releasing of control, a deliberate resting in the God of our salvation. It's interesting to me that two hymns in our hymn book with the same tune both have this theme, number 501 and number 907. And if you would turn to 907, please. I'm going to read the first stanza of 501, and then we're going to sing the first stanza of Be Still My Soul. Number 501, We Rest on Thee. We rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Let's sing the first stanza of number 907, Be Still My Soul.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief for pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. We wait, we hope, we look expectantly, Lord, to you. Let none of those who wait for you be ashamed. Let integrity and uprightness preserve us, for we wait for you. As we worship today, Lord, we want to actively, deliberately relinquish control. We declare that doesn't mean to disengage. But it means to let, well, I don't know. I guess to take your yoke on us and simply walk with you, because your burden is light. Lord, I'm sure I don't have a clue at what all we're carrying today. But I ask that for every person here, that you will enable them to find rest in you, to find new strength, new courage to be patient in the days and weeks upcoming, and to let you be God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.